Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk about Alex Jones.
That is pretty much what we do.
That's like, it's like our job, but we don't get paid nearly as much as jobs.
And nobody really is interested, but let's face it.
A number of people,
but I
more
mean like
more than should be.
That's a better way of putting it. Yeah.
Certainly the it's great and we appreciate everyone who listens, but man, we would have thought there would be like half as many.
Yeah.
As
oh man, I would have assumed that it was much like Alex Jones's real listeners in Chicago. It would just be you.
Yeah, we're getting negative out of the jump.
That's a good point. Now let me ask you a question though.
What's up?
Could there possibly be a reason that people would listen to our show beyond its subject matter?
Possibly.
Yeah. Is there a dynamic between the two of us that
we're
could
friends?
Like? We're friends? Okay, that solves that.
Enjoy each other's company? Is that
what you're
getting
at? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's it. end of bit.
I know a lot about Alex Jones. You do not.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And that's where our fun is. So
that or avoiding doing any of the bits that we're supposed to do.
I don't know why we started doing them in the first place. So let's
so we could fail.
Yeah. Why do we get up? So we can learn to fall again. It's the inverse of Alfred.
Yeah.
So I got some business I want to take care of up top.
All right, we got up top business.
I'd like to remind everyone that we have a live show coming up at North Bar on September 9th.
Oh yeah, we're plugging it up top instead of at the end after everybody's already turned it off. This is smart.
Yeah, we should do that.
Dan, this is smart. This is unprecedented territory for us.
September 9th at 9 p.m. And I feel comfortable enough to reveal at this point that what we will be doing is going over Alex Jones and the Mayan apocalypse.
That is exactly what we should do at a live show.
That's the episode that we will be covering. So if you're excited about that, you should come check it out. And if not, if you live in other parts of the country or the world and you happen to have friends in Chicago, please feel free to help spread the word. We, you know, it's a Saturday night at a bar. We'd really like to make it, not shitty for the bar. So.
Yeah. Yeah, even when we're doing it for us, we're still look, we're fine failing.
Yeah.
That's what we're used to.
We've done stand-up
They're
for years.
A business.
We are used to failing.
Yeah, exactly. Also, if you are anywhere in the world, Chicago is quite lovely this time of year. America, not so great, but
no.
Chicago's still nice.
The leaves are about to change at some point.
Yeah, so if you are Sonia from Sweden.
Speaking of which.
Who, I'm sorry, the alliteration makes it impossible to ignore.
Speaking of which, Sonia from Sweden, I'd like to give a shout out to our newest policy wonk.
Oh, shit!
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much for donating to the show, Sonia.
Sonia, man, you get an all-expenses-paid-by-you trip to this show on Saturday nights.
If you would like to become a policy wonk, much like Sonia, you can do so by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the Support the Show button, and you can become a policy wonk.
Please do.
Speaking of which, I don't know how to do this, so I'm just going to jump into it. I'd like to give a special shout-out to some special policy wonks out there. I'd like to wish a happy congratulations. Congratulations on your engagement out
happy
there.
Congratulations.
Happy congratulations.
Happy congratulations.
On your engagement to Mike and Beth. We're thrilled for you. We wish all the blessings of the elite globalists upon your union. Hope your wedding is as extravagant as that of one of the Rockefellers or so. I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. We just want you to get the life extension technology, and that only counts if you're in a traditional family. So
indeed.
Good luck to you.
So that is all of our business up top. I think we got through it reasonably quickly.
Yeah, I think we did a good job.
So, Jordan, I have some iffy news. I wanted to check in with the current day Alex Jones.
Whoa! Oh, by the way, we're drinking Faygo Red Pop.
Red Pop.
And it has the delicious taste of red and a blast of cotton candy at your face.
Oh, nice.
It is
I
intense.
I can't wait to get into this
thing. It is an atrocity of sugar.
So, Jordan, before I was distracted and interrupted by your shock and awe.
Rudely distracted.
I didn't say it that way.
Yeah.
So what I was saying is I needed to check in with modern day Alex Jones because it's been a little while since we've checked in on the show where he's at. There's been a natural disaster, and Trump has been bungling stuff all over town.
And there was a flood in Houston.
Yeah, get him.
There we are.
Get
there him. It is.
So,
all right.
I wanted to check in and see what was going on. And so today, we're recording this on Thursday. I'm at work, and I'm like, all right, let me listen to Wednesday's show. And I pull up the, episodes and it's like, it has the guests listed.
Oh no.
Alexander Dugan is back.
No.
I'm like, oh God.
How is this possible?
And then it's like the other guest on the show is Stefan Molyneux.
Oh, I'm like, okay.
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
The next guest was going to be, Stefan Marbury though. So that would have been pretty great.
If Starbury's on there and he starts crying, I'm in.
Right. Of course.
Stefan Molyneux, for those of you who don't know who he is, he is a guy who created a show called Free Domain Radio. He considers himself the most popular philosopher on iTunes or on the internet. He does these videos where he's just like in front of a white wall, discussing philosophical concepts.
All right. So he's an idiot.
He's really smart, but he's like, no, I mean, smart in the, technical sense.
Okay.
He's technically intelligent. He is. And it pains me to say so because he is a monster.
Okay.
He is a libertarian, in quotes.
All right. So he's an idiot.
He's an anarcho-capitalist.
Oh, so he's an idiot.
He's beyond an idiot.
Yeah.
He is legitimately a cult leader.
Okay.
There are actual support groups of people who have broken away from his Free Domain Radio group.
Really?
He believes in a thing he calls defooing, which is on the surface a really decent thing. I'm not going to play anything of Stefan Molyneux maybe ever on this podcast.
All right.
Because he is a dangerous fucking ding dong.
He's already enraged me and I've heard his name.
Well, and he has a habit of suing people or pressing like copyright charges against them if they use clips of him to prove him wrong.
That's a smart move.
He took down an opponent's YouTube channel because they were using his clips and then pointing out where he's lying and shit like that.
Okay.
So it's best for us not just to mess with that.
Right.
But this defooing thing, this idea, it sounds good on the surface. And what it is the idea.
It's getting rid of the Foo Fighters.
Right. Get rid of Grohl. Get rid of that guy.
Well, let's keep Grohl, but.
Keep Pat Smear. So it's the idea that you don't have to keep abusive people in your life. And if people are negative, you can cut them out of your life.
Oh, do you mean like a suppressive person?
Right. It's, but if you don't go crazy with it, it's actually good because you do have the right to keep negative influences out of your life.
I agree.
But the problem is he believes that anybody who doesn't believe in these libertarian anarcho-capitalist ideas are abusing you.
Oh, suppressive persons.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's exactly that sort of thing because he has videos where he goes on and on talking about how like, if you support the idea of me going to prison because I don't pay my taxes, then you support government violence against me. Why should I allow you in my life if you support violence against me? So basically, he's advocating that it's reasonable and necessary to cut anyone out of your life who believes in taxes.
Okay, so he's pulling some sort of irrational, illogical jujitsu on idiots.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And smart people, because he is incredibly smart and very manipulative.
It's fine. No. If he's incredibly smart, then the only context within which you can say that is he is incredibly smart and talented at the skill of making idiots do dumb shit.
No. Go watch I recommend anybody who's interested do this. There's a lot of videos on YouTube you can find where people who used to be a part of his flock discuss the experience of being suckered in, basically.
Uh-huh.
And they're very smart, articulate people who just, you know, they thought they were getting involved in something political and it turned out it was a cult.
Right.
And you don't, you know what,
That's how it's not like it, cult Clapper, members was aren't
it,
all.
Was it Clapper or Brennan who was saying like, sometimes the road to ending up doing treasonous things, it doesn't appear that it's treasonous until it's too late.
Oh yeah,
that sort of idea.
That was probably Clapper.
That relates to cults too,
right?
I think. I mean, you the instant your life,
right?
You grew up in it,
right?
But choosing to join one as an adult, you often don't know until you're in that it's something really fucked up.
There's just a common thread among all of the people, which is like it's the same thing with suicide. It really is like a passing, fleeting moment of like, I'm hopeless. I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody is giving me any good advice. And then there's this person that just gives you this, like, this hope, you know,
validation,
that you don't have.
Yeah. Inclusion.
And so that's how you get, and it's the same way with suicide in which, you know, if you don't commit suicide, you know, if you get through that 5 minutes or whatever length of time, then all of a sudden you'll go, oh, well, it wasn't that big a deal. Right. You get over it.
Right.
And so that happens with people who join cults is they get there, they get them at that right moment.
I agree.
And it's not that they're smart or dumb
right.
for joining the cult.
Right.
But if you're the cult leader, yes, generally you have some sort of charismatic intelligence about you,
mm-hmm.
but that does not mean that you are not an idiot.
I
rest my case.
He is the fucking dirt worst.
Yeah.
This Stefan Molyneux, too.
Okay.
Like, I don't even want to get into it, but just one great example. You can find a video of this somewhere, but after Elliot Rodger, the guy who went and killed a bunch of people because women wouldn't have sex with him.
All right.
Stefan Molyneux blamed women.
Oh. Okay, well, then he's a genius.
Yeah, his whole angle was about...
It takes a lot of brilliance to get there.
Well, the women...
I'm sure there is a circuitous path to get around all of the obvious idiocy.
As I recall, it had to do with, like, women fucking strong dudes. You're going to end up causing this sort of thing.
Of course.
It's like, whoa, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, no, it goes back millennia.
But anyway, stuff like
women
that.
Have bred us to beat them.
Right.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes perfect sense. That's not an insane person.
So, these clips exist, throughout Stefan Molyneux's work.
Uh-huh.
But because he has this aggressive stance towards copyright stuff and has taken action against people, people are pretty reticent to post clips of the evil stuff. It's still there, but you've got to dig through hours of him rambling about esoteric points in philosophy, stuff that sounds benign in order to get to those points.
Uh-huh.
So he gets a lot of cover out of, I mean, thank God.
He doesn't understand the irony of him being a libertarian
yeah.
anarcho-capitalist
yeah.
who is really into copyright laws, right? He doesn't get that.
Everybody,
obviously, he's a fucking moron.
All his critics get it.
Oh, it should be very clear.
Get the irony, yeah.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, Alex has Stefan on, and he's had him on before, but it's a really huge problem that he's having basically, not wacky, cause he's worse than wacky. That's way too nice.
Right.
This cult leader on his show, and they have a chummy pal session every time he's on, and then Alexander Dugan. I was just like, I don't know what to do. I was just like, fuck the present. So I looked at that and I said, I don't want to live in the present. So here's an out of context drop of what we are going to be talking about today.
As I've said, raptors are going to factor in a lot in this discussion.
Yeah.
Yes! Yeah! Yeah!
We needed a break.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Raptors.
Thank you so much. Raptors.
Raptors.
Yes!
Are going to factor heavily into this. I have discovered something really fucked up in Project Camelot that is going to... Jordan...
Hold on. Can you say that one more time? One more time.
No, I'll let Carrie say
okay.
it.
As I've said, raptors are going to factor in a lot in this discussion.
All right. Stefan Molyneux should still die, but this
yes,
is great.
Absolutely.
Now I feel good. Now
all
I feel
that
good.
Stuff I can't fucking handle.
Yeah, no.
About that.
No,
I'm
thank
about
you.
To go on vacation for the weekend, celebrate my friend Riggs, Matt Riggs, friend of the show, his bachelor party.
Congratulations to him.
And I don't need fucking 3 hours of Stefan Molyneux going on. Let's fucking talk raptors.
Yes. Raptors are going to factor heavily into this.
So today, Jordan, we're going to be talking about a Project Camelot.
you know, normally, if I hear that sentence outside of the context of Project Camelot,
uh-huh.
I think, oh, there is going to be a very narrow path this conversation can go down.
Maybe you're talking
we
to,
have to know a lot
a falconer.
About, yeah, we have to know about raptors. We have to decide what raptors we're talking about
mm-hmm.
right here. Is this a Jurassic Park kind of situation?
Sure.
Is this a, as you mentioned, falconer situation?
Mm-hmm.
Is this about a team that has not done much in the playoffs for a long time? Who is this about?
I can tell you
now,
it's not the last one.
In Project Camelot, I have no fucking clue, and anything could happen.
It could be all of them
it could
except
be everything.
For basketball. Certainly, they're not going to be talking about Tracy McGrady.
No.
What?
Way off.
Who was on,
Tracy McGrady was never a
Vince
Raptor.
Vince Carter.
Thank you. That was a long time ago.
That's about when I
He's on Memphis right now. He's 40 years old and he's still playing.
God bless him.
Yeah, right?
That's about when I stopped watching basketball.
That was good time.
Around that time.
I don't know. I mean, you got LeBron, you got Durant, you got Steph Curry, you got, come on, there's a, this league is amazing right now.
You're speaking.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
Because you are too afraid to get to Raptors.
No, I think that's the exact opposite.
So, Jordan.
Yes. Let's get it.
For those of you who have not listened to our entire back catalog, whenever we need to take a break, we dip our toes into the world of Project Camelot and Carrie Cassidy, nay Callahan. Jordan and I could not get her name right for a very
long
time.
For at least a good 8 months.
We need to do that. And today I was scrolling around after I got sick of the idea of listening to Alex Jones, and I saw an interview with a lady named Joanne Richards, and the headline was Space Command.
Excellent.
And I was like, fuck, we need to learn more about Space Command.
Absolutely.
Alex Jones talks about Space Command a bunch.
Of course.
And has been for 16 years.
Oh, absolutely.
This lady has inside information about Space Command. We gotta fucking get into it. So.
That's your ancillary connection to the Alex Jones show. Like, we're still doing research into InfoWars.
I'm not saying that it's one to one related, but it is the same topic.
Of course.
Now, granted.
It falls within our purview.
The world of Project Camelot is way crazier and so much more fun.
I think it's way more imaginative.
Certainly.
Because they believe in good and evil, whereas Alex just believes that everything is negative all the time and they're coming to get us.
Except Trump. He thinks Trump is great and patriots are awesome.
Yeah, but even those things are still coming to get us. Like, even how he describes them is always, Trump, he's really evil, but in a good way. So it's like, you're still negative.
That's a fair point. So we're going to be covering two episodes of Project Camelot that relate. And this, Jordan, is going to be an incredible roller coaster ride for you.
Okay.
I have some big reveals.
About Raptors?
Yeah. It took every bit of strength, first of all, not to tell you that I was doing a Project Camelot episode.
The joy you heard was pure, pure,
and
genuine.
To not spoil where this is going is so hard for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and lay this out as best I can.
Okay.
And hope for the best.
All right.
This first clip is, Carrie Cassidy sitting down with, Joanne Richards. This is her introduction. She doesn't really know how to give herself an introduction.
Is Joanne Richards an author of some kind, right? I've seen her name on top of books.
Probably a different one.
Okay.
Whatever she's written, I don't think you've read.
Okay.
She runs a website about Earth Guard Command or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. This is not the same Joanne Richards.
This self-introduction is a little long-winded, but let's sit through it just to get a little bit of a context.
Let's find out who Joanne
for everything.
Is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Joanne, actually, other than I think you're an accountant on the side, you have a background in journalism.
Oh, yeah, get that.
I know. And, you are married to a very important individual in my view. And I think that you've also been on the circuit now, basically talking about his information and publishing it and putting it on a very interesting website called Earth Defense Headquarters.
Good.
And, and why don't you give yourself your own introduction, just, to let people know a little bit more about you before we kind of launch into everything here.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
So, let's see, where do I start? I grew up in Southern California, basically. And my family moved up. I live north of San Francisco now, but my family moved up to, the San Francisco Bay Area when I was in high school. So I finished high school there, went to college in Utah for a while, married a few different guys, moved back to California and became a bookkeeper. And I've been doing bookkeeping for, private clients and also for different, I was an employee for a while, off and on for 35 years. I have, a grown daughter and three wonderful grandchildren.
When's
and
the hammer going to drop,
Joanne? Portland and Washington.
This is a lot of superfluous
stuff. So, yeah. I'm actually going to see them for Mother's Day, and then next week I'll be up there working and babysitting, so that'll be fun. And I've been married to Mark 14 and a half years. We've known each other since late 1997 is when we met. And we courted for 5 years, and then
what
we got
is
married.
That? So who
we've been married
is
like
this 14 lady?
And a half years. Time just flies when you're having fun.
Get to it!
And basically, you know, people ask me how I got into this stuff all the time. So I grew up watching Martian movies and the sci-fi movies. And, you know, that was all well and good, and that was fun. But never thinking, you know, I just thought that was all pretend. And never thought much about it.
Oh, here we go.
And then I met Mark, and he started introducing me to some new information, and then he started sharing with me some of the stuff that he did for the military, and all of a sudden it wasn't just pretend, and this is what, you know, real people did without everybody else knowing about it, and it's like, wow. And then you read about this man you adore almost getting killed over and over and over again, and then fighting aliens and
There it is.
You know, just a lot of weird stuff, but also learning about all kinds of wonderful topics along the way.
Right, but tell me more about your life as a homemaker.
Yeah. We had to.
I want to know about your daughter.
I like getting that stuff in because I want to stress as we go along, Joanne seems like a sweet lady.
She's just got this life story that is just like.
Married a couple dudes.
There's no way that should end with, and then you hear about the man you love fighting aliens, and you're like, wait, mm-hmm. No.
Yep.
No.
This interview is mostly about Joanne's husband, Mark.
Mark.
They're going to be discussing a lot of information that comes from him, and a lot of it's pretty fun, and raptors are going to factor heavily into this.
Raptors are going to factor heavily into
We're
going to
learn so much about raptors by
okay.
the end of this.
So Mark was in the military.
Ostensibly.
That's already the question that I'm, already I'm like, Mark was never in the military. Joanne, run. Get away from Mark, he is lying to you.
I know some stuff, I don't think he was in the military. I'm gonna say no.
No, of course not.
All these dudes who are in the secret space program weren't in the military. It's all stolen valor.
No, were in the alternate military. Mm-hmm. And then they were time traveled back to where they weren't in the military. This is obvious.
So the interview that Carrie has with Joanne starts with a lot of sort of pleasantries. You can kind of tell that they're friends. And so maybe the first 10 minutes or so end up being them, you know,
just having a gab.
They're gabbing a little bit. Eh. You know, it is what it is. But then we get into some real issues, and they start with current events.
In terms of the secret space program and your understanding about what's going on, has he ever talked to you about the current events, such as what's going on in North Korea, for example?
Yes, we do, because I hear things and then I'll ask him. And, you know, we were talking a lot about Syria, and, you know, now the heat is on North Korea. So I just point blank, you know, say, well, is there somebody that's guiding what's his name in North Korea? And he'll say yes. And I go, are the reptoids involved there? And he said yes. So just like Syria and ISIS, you have the reptoids stirring up trouble with the North Korea guy. So it could get hairy.
It could get hairy because the reptoids are fiddling around.
I love it when you say something crazy, but then you use like a normal colloquialism, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, the reptoids are stirring up trouble. Like, wait, no, they should be doing something more than a down home backcountry euphorism.
Oh, these meddling reptoids.
Oh, man. Oh, these reptoids are getting in it again.
Yeah. So that's.
They got their hand caught in the cookie jar. Or, I apologize, claw.
That's as good a theory as any I've heard, I think, for international trouble. But I mean, this follows what we talked about on the last Project Camelot episode about all these world, sort of issues like Iraq, the Vietnam War. They were about stargates.
Right.
And like there are places where humans can jump into alien world and aliens can come here. And that's where like shit gets messy. So I don't have clips of it, but part of the premise is that all the times that we end up bombing places, it's because these bombs end up shutting stargates.
Yes.
So you send a bomb because humans are trying to jump through, and that's against, like, treaties or something like that.
Of course.
So, yeah, that's what's going
on. Human-reptoid treaties. Yes, naturally.
Yes.
I imagine if she asked Mark any question that involved, are the reptoids involved? Mark would be like, oh, yeah, totally.
You betcha.
Yeah. I think I got less than blue book value for this used car. Reptoids.
Definitely.
Damn it. Definitely. Ah, I knew it was the reptoids.
My sources tell me the reptoids have been getting into used car dealers, dealerships. So, yeah.
What does it take for me to get you in the, today?
So one of the things we're going to have to distinguish throughout this is that there are two groups that are being discussed that are very similar in name.
But they are different groups.
Yes, and they're actually at war with each other.
Okay, the reptoids and the reptilians?
No, the reptilians is an umbrella term.
We're going to need to diagram this out,
aren't we? We are, yeah.
Okay.
Dry erase board, activated.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got the reptoids, and then you have the raptors. And the raptors are good.
So the raptors are good. The reptoids are bad.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have one of the raptors fallen madly in love with one of the reptoids?
I mean, it has
will
to
they
happened.
Be dance fighting?
It has to have happened.
Will they be dance fighting?
Undoubtedly. I don't know about that, but I can tell you I can't even do this without
I'm
laughing.
So happy. I'm so happy right now,
Dan. I can't even set up a clip without laughing.
Okay.
So whatever star-crossed lover scenario may or may not exist.
Right. Will Shakespeare.
I can tell you that the raptors are engaged in creating entertainment.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. Well, she was raised in, she was born in SoCal, basically.
Basically.
Just know I'm a really good military wife, but you know, there's a lot of things that he does or knows that I don't know. And a lot of that is because he can't tell me and is to keep me safe. But, you know, I know he's, you know, he knows because he's the one that tells me, well, they funded such and such movie. It's like, okay. And actually, you know, when I went and saw Jurassic World, for example, I loved that movie. But yeah. If you look at the credits, there, I mean, a lot of it is Malaysian or whatever, but if you read very carefully in some of the credits, there are some weird names that are kind of human names, and they're not really Malaysian names, but it's,
okay.
You can just tell a raptor has tried to, you know, come up with a human name. Because it's kind of a funny name. But it's not a Malaysian name. It's like, oh, look at that. That must be one of your friends. So I don't really know how he knows what the raptors might or might not be up to, but, you know. Not for me to know, apparently.
No.
So, the Raptors were behind Jurassic World.
Yeah.
They fund a lot of movies.
They fund a lot of movies.
One of them being a movie with raptors in it.
Well, it's pro-raptor propaganda.
And, oh, that's true. They are pretty friendly.
Wait. Yeah, they're good. They're good in Jurassic World. Yeah. There we go.
So
now I believe everything she says.
But her reasoning is there's silly names in the credits that are clearly a raptor trying to guess a human name.
Yeah, of course. Dan, I don't see how that does not make perfect sense to you.
That's bewilderingly racist. That's so crazy. Because, like, I do mean this. Joanne seems like a sweet lady. She seems fine. But, like, she's a 50-year-old, maybe, old white lady.
Of course. Yeah, there is no doubt about that in my mind.
Who lived for a lot of her life in, you know, the Bay Area of California, up
right.
north.
Right.
So she
no shortage of fun things to believe out there.
Yeah, but also she doesn't know about, like, what is or is not a different culture's name. You know, like, she doesn't know all the naming traditions.
Well, that's why she asks Mark.
And he's like, yep, raptors.
Raptors.
Definitely raptors.
I think that's a fun racism, though. Like, she doesn't get how incredibly right. racist that is and how insensitive and stupid it is. But at the same time, it's better than thinking that all other names are dumb. It's more like, oh, silly raptors.
Isn't that cute? The raptors
trying to make human names.
They think they're pulling one off.
Yeah, like, wait, lady, do you mean any name that isn't a white person's name? Is that basically what she's saying?
Well, she said that you could see some in their Malaysian names, but some of them too silly. It's crazy. But,
that's such a complex.
So, It is.
Venn diagram of knowing what a Malaysian name is and at the same time
what is
thinking a raptor made it up.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So Carrie is not a great interviewer. We know this. She just agrees with everything.
Yes.
But at this point in the interview, she does come up with at least a question. And she does ask if she's ever seen a raptor.
That's a good question.
It seems like probably.
It seems like question number one, but I'm just glad she got there.
Yeah, yeah.
So in terms of the interaction with the raptors, right. Have you ever seen a raptor? Cause he talks about they're going to be on tour here in this, Jurassic. I don't know if it's called Jurassic World or what it's called.
It's T-Rex World.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they're actively hiding themselves among the models or whatever. But there are certainly raptors in that show. And then I think they were involved with, a couple of years back, they were in another big production, and it might have been like walking dinosaurs or whatever, but it was, I went and saw it like it was, used to be called the Arco Arena up in Sacramento. I don't know if it's still called that, but it was cool. It was like going through history, the dinosaur history through the ages, and it was fascinating, but I kept thinking, that, you know, there would actually be some raptors in the raptor suits. But I think they might have been nearby.
So I want to pause there
for
a second.
Wait. She thought there would be raptors within raptor suits.
Yes. At the walking with the dinosaurs.
So the raptors are hiding in plain sight.
Yes.
By dressing up as raptors.
Yes.
Because nothing, you would never suspect
never.
A dressed up raptor
never.
To have a raptor inside of it.
Never.
Then but she says this like she knew there weren't any there. And she was like, wait, well, they're probably nearby.
Well, you know what I love?
Because they want to be close to their people?
Fake versions of their people?
Yeah, what's going on there?
Here's what I love. I love the visual that this gives me that is Joanne going to Walking with the Dinosaurs and like seeing a raptor suit and giving it a knowing nod.
Yeah.
I know you can't move and show all your cards, but I see you.
See, I have the visual of a raptor trying to put on a raptor suit.
That'd be tough.
That would be so hard.
Yeah.
How would it fit?
Let me be clear, too. They do discuss it. We're not misrepresenting what raptors are.
Okay.
They are like
velociraptors. They are the raptors that you and I are yes. thinking of. Okay, yes. Good.
But maybe a tiny bit smaller. But
so do they use their little?
Small.
Do they use their little hands to zip it up?
Yes, and some of them get surgeries so they can speak like humans.
Okay, well that's good.
That's important.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, then you'd think they would be better at picking human names then.
Also, when Walking with the Dinosaurs came around, like when it was big a few years back, I was working at Groupon at the time, and we ran a Groupon for it, and the sales rep that worked out that deal got them to come to our office.
Oh, that's cool.
It was pretty cool, but at the same time, I mean, it was fucking terrifying. Just because.
Did you see a raptor?
I might have. No, I didn't. I saw a bunch of people manipulating a puppet, like outside of the suit.
Okay.
They weren't inside it.
Were they? Now this, I'm just spitballing here, dude.
I'm listening.
Were they raptors in human suits?
Well, see, that could be possible because they do discuss at a certain point that some of the elite raptors don't have tails.
But
I don't care.
That makes perfect. That makes enough sense.
Enough
sense. Yeah. Why? Why not?
Let's get back to this clip.
Why not?
Let's get back to this clip because she has some more.
Raptors and raptor suits.
Joanna still has more thoughts about seeing raptors.
Yes,
and the possibility of such a thing.
So I couldn't tell that they were actually in the actor's suits that day, but I think they were probably hanging out nearby. So you just never know.
Doing consulting
I know a few
work.
Of them were in Jurassic World in some of like the running scenes and stuff. So, but you know, again, we have these treaties where there's not supposed to be open communication with civilians. So they really try not to be seen by people, but you know, they do like to go to big conferences or big like Comic-Con and science type of conferences where a lot of people are in costumes and a lot of different aliens do that. They'll either wear a hooded outfit.
A lot of different aliens?
Or
now, there's a lot of aliens.
And they're
now.
Tall. They just look okay. Like they fit in. But, you know, sometimes
this is Men in Black. She's just describing the plot of Men in Black.
Conferences or events, and people think their costume is fabulous.
We can translate that also as I don't understand cosplay.
No.
So yeah, she's. You can go to Comic-Con, and often you'll just see aliens who want to hang out.
And it's just like they're in a great costume.
Right. That's an amazing raptor costume.
It's definitely not that somebody spent painstaking hours crafting it.
No.
As a labor of love that they're not really getting much for, except some of them have turned it into a gig.
Sure.
But come on. It's totally an alien.
Yeah, it's probably an alien.
Totally an alien.
But that's because of the treaties.
Our technology has not advanced to the point where we can dress like that.
No, we don't have paint.
Only aliens can do that.
Totally.
Yeah. And even the paint that we do have, harshly controlled by aliens because of the treaties.
Absolutely.
That was the first thing you negotiate with aliens is a trade deal.
These treaties, by the way.
I learned that from the Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace.
These treaties are never dug into at all. We don't get any real information about what went on in these treaties, what the stipulations were. It's just, we got treaties.
That's my favorite part. All of these treaties factor so heavily into all discussions about aliens from like the Project Camelot stuff that I've heard.
You know why?
Treaties are super important.
I can explain that to you. Any fantasy world requires rules. Because there have to be rules in order to explain the really big stuff that you can't explain.
Right.
Like, why aren't raptors just talking to everybody? Oh, there's treaties. It's the same thing with like when you're trying, as I understand, I've never actually played Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
But in order to create the fantasy scenario, you need that dungeon master making the rules of what is the reality of the campaign you're on.
Yeah.
And basically that's what Project Camelot does.
I want to play D&D with Project Camelot so bad.
But they're pretending it's real.
Can we play a D&D game where we pick characters from Project Camelot and role play as them?
100%.
All right.
I want to be that super soldier who was on the last episode.
Oh shit, I get to be Joanne Richardson.
You can be Carrie.
My special skill is I'll ask my husband Mark, and he'll be like, raptors, but it's a +2 raptor binding.
You can be Carrie.
I put a raptor suit on.
Carrie would have +3 charisma.
Oh, that's definitely true.
And she's a mage.
She does perform lesser magic. That is true.
It's true. So this next clip, Carrie, again, not a great interviewer, but brings up a very interesting question based on a conversation that she's had with Mark. She has talked to him a bit, and we'll get to that in the future.
Okay.
But she had a conversation with him, got a piece of information, wants to run it by Joanne, see what she has to say about it. And this is the kind of question that could be awkward as shit, but somehow ends up being kind of delightful.
Okay, this is kind of a strange question, but Mark married he told me that he was married to a Pleiadian woman and that he had 2 kids at least.
Okay. Number one, I and another Californian are the only ones that he's been married to, but he has lots of partners. He's had lots of partners.
Okay.
I know about one Nordic, and she was from the Aryan race. So if there's a Pleiadian, I'm going to have to ask.
No, maybe he meant Nordic. Maybe I just remembered it as Pleiadian. So don't quote me.
What? Those don't sound alike.
Because it took him a while to like tell me about all the women and all the children.
Okay.
But there was a Nordic princess who he does have a child with. Yes.
Okay, and the child is here on Earth?
Oh, no. Some, you know, out in their empire.
I see.
So. Mark is an intergalactic swinger.
How many women and how many children does Mark have?
It's indeterminate at this point. He has tons of kids out there with different alien races. He's like Captain Kirk to some extent. Just going out there putting his dick in all sorts of aliens.
Well, and you know what? Mark may not necessarily be lying to her, you know, because California doesn't recognize Pleiadian marriages.
It's true.
Hey, we just got gay marriage, man. I think we got a long ways to go before intraspecies alien marriage happens.
I want to, before we unpack how stupid it is that he claims he has a kid with a Pleiadian
Nordic princess. Off world.
The reason that
she's in one of their
It's there, out in their empire. Somewhere.
Out in their empire. Yeah.
So, the reason that Carrie Cassidy can get confused between Pleiadian
and
Nordic, Aryan
yeah.
is because those are sort of humanoid light, elemental alien species. Cause there's like the reptilian umbrella, and then there is this sort of, Nordic umbrella, and the Pleiadians are on that side of things. Like, they're all humanoid. They would look like humans, whereas
but they're
raptors
light
look like raptors. Yeah. Or there's the gray aliens. There's,
yeah, of course,
you know,
there's the gray aliens.
There's all
yeah.
sorts of...
We don't even need to discuss the gray aliens. Everybody knows that.
We learned that they're mercenaries. Carrie does explain that they will just work for whoever the highest bidder is, and
okay.
in World War
okay.
II...
Oh yeah. How did the gray aliens factor into World War II?
In World War II, they sided with the Reptoids, who were, of course.
Okay, well, the Reptoids are the bad guys, so they're on the axis of evil.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
They were working with Germany, Italy, and Japan.
Right.
Whereas the Pleiadians and, Raptors were on our side.
Of course.
All of human history has really actually just been a battle between different alien races.
Yeah.
Which is a good way to avoid the pain of realizing that humans hurt other humans.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's the beautiful thing in this, is it's always, humans as a whole are always the good guy.
Yeah.
But we're manipulated by alien races,
yes.
or our power is controlled by alien races. All of this, it's really all framed as a struggle of all of us together.
Yeah.
As opposed to discovering that, no, true evil exists and it looks like you and me.
Yes.
It does not look like a raptor.
No. Does not. So, I love, first of all, that Joanne is totally cool with Mark just throwing it around.
Yeah, he's got kids. He's got hoes in fucking star codes?
Sure.
I don't know.
And then, but I mean, at the same time, she opened up her introduction by saying, I've married a few guys, ran around, lived a life.
Right.
So, you know, you get to a certain age and jealousy is pointless to have anymore. Who gives a shit? So I like
and
that.
And she doesn't have to raise the Pleiadian kid.
No, it was in another star system.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, in this next clip, Joanne expresses what her vision for her future is. Cause, Carrie asks if Mark has ever expressed what he thinks the future holds for them or what.
Uh-huh.
She's like, well, actually, here's what I think the future should be.
You know, my vision, and I'm very open about it, is like my vision is for us to have some, and I found the ideal property, even though I didn't go visit it, but I found the ideal property online and in pictures when I was in Norfolk, England last fall. It's like this beautiful old, like Edwardian house on 5.5 acres. Lots of fields, like overlooking fields. It's got a horse paddock. It's got a separate cottage. You know, it's got plenty of room to land things on and grow vegetables. It's like, I want a place where all his alien friends can come visit. All the grandchildren can come visit. And everybody just has a grand time. And we're just left alone to teach and communicate and live happily ever after with our alien friends.
God, that's, I want to make fun of it, but that's so wide-eyed and innocent and beautiful.
I just
love it. Like, mm-hmm. Who among us does not want a place large enough mm-hmm. for our grandchildren to come visit and intermingle with our alien friends, and we can all just laugh and teach
and
grow together.
She has a garden plan too. I like
well,
that.
Yeah.
Of course you can grow some crops. It's great.
It's an Edwardian home. You got to grow some crops.
Again,
and there's enough space for people to land.
There's an undercurrent of foolishness, but at the same time, there's overwhelming sweetness.
Oh,
much like me drinking this Faygo. Sweetness and foolishness mixed all into one.
Yeah.
So this next clip, Joanne discusses, I want to say pedigree, but really she discusses the lineage that Mark comes from.
Gotcha.
Lineage on his father's side. They're from Germany, the Rhineland in Germany. So, German princes, you know, that's a real thing there still. So he's like fourth generation away from being a German prince on his father's mom's side, some very prominent, like British families. I know he's from the Stuart line. He's from a Peacock line. On his mom's side, you know, there's definitely very special Celtic bloodlines, and
does he have any
his mom's
non-special
mom was
shit
related
going
to
on?
Williams, the first governor of, I'm hoping it's Rhode Island, if I'm remembering correctly. And you know, like His grandparents were both involved with think tanks and Nikola Tesla and local politics, and Grandpa Taylor on his mom's side was one of Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders, and he was one of the original, like, Secret Service Men in Black type people.
Sure, sure, of course.
And just powerful.
Special lineage.
There isn't a bad bloodline anywhere in Mark. You know, I think his mom kept telling me, and we're also related to Pocahontas, and it's cool. I mean, Mark's done all the genealogy, and he likes to say back to God.
Joanne.
So, you know, but he's done his genealogy
way back.
So his dad's side of the family is the House of Massa and the House of Orange. So that's tied
Mark
to,
is
like,
lying
current royal families.
Mark's mom
like
was
in the
really
Netherlands and stuff. And I'm not sure why his dad's called the Dutchman unless it's for that reason.
Just a little bit of fun trivia. Mark's dad is called the Dutchman.
Yeah.
That's what they all call him.
Yeah.
And whenever he comes up, they talk about the Dutchman. Like, I love that he has a code name. He's supposedly, like, he apparently went along on the expedition with Admiral Byrd.
Of course he did.
Are you aware of Admiral Byrd?
No, I'm not, but I know he went on the expedition. I don't even finish the sentence. I know the Dutchman was there.
The Dutchman was in play.
There's only one thing I know, and that is Forrest Gump is based entirely on the Dutchman.
Well, I mean, there's only two Dutchmen in the world.
Yes.
Mark's dad and Rick Smits. The dunking Dutchman. Back to the time when
I knew basketball. I got it.
So, if you don't know, Admiral Byrd was a gentleman who, may or may not have discovered that the earth is hollow.
Right.
So, he flew over the pole.
Oh no, yeah. I remember that guy now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So people who believe in hollow earth, really, subscribe to the school of Admiral Byrd.
Well, you can count up at least one president among them, John Quincy Adams, my friend. He was a big hollow earther.
Probably two now.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. This is a man lying about his family's history. Isn't it fun that it kind of sounds like Alex a little bit?
Yeah,
I'm related to the Tudors,
Confederate royalty.
Yeah,
it's such the anytime somebody tells you about their past lives, it's always like, oh, in a past life I was Cleopatra, and it's like, no, dude. If we're even gonna entertain past lives and all that shit, your past lives were mostly people who died at 20 of dysentery. That's what your past lives are. Mm-hmm. So own it. You know, if you want to believe in past lives, that's fine. But most of your past lives shat themselves to death.
He was related to Pocahontas,
Of course, he was related to Pocahontas.
And then in his present day, he has a kid with a Nordic alien princess.
Right, and he's only the fourth generation away from being a German prince.
Because that's real still.
Part of the Stuarts.
Yes.
John Stuart Mill. John Stewart.
Involved with Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And local politics.
That's a weird sentence.
I like that was the one that closed the sentence. That was the one where we needed the Oxford comma really badly.
Yeah.
Not Nikola Tesla and local politics.
He was involved
politics.
With Tesla's short stint in local
exactly.
politics.
Tesla, Oxford comma, and local politics.
Yeah. So in this next clip, we get back to Jurassic World a little bit, and Joanne talks a little bit more about some raptor shit.
Right.
Let me share the latest thing I gave a talk on, which was a lot of fun. Was Mark, when he was still in high school, he went to England and was part of raptor military training. They had a whole like training facility at Bamburgh Castle they were using at the time, and he was part of their whole, he and other humans, and including Dean Martin's son, went to the rigorous raptor military training, and then they had like a war game type safe mission, which turned into an actual rescue mission, but they had to do a little battle out there. But it was delightful because again, it talked about, you know, what the raptor military is like, and
like?
You know, talking more about the raptors and how in the scene in Jurassic World, which I love, where there's the guy on the motorcycle
this
racing along with the raptors. Well, Mark is that guy. I have the leather
there
jacket. He did race his motorcycles with the raptors when they
is
were running and training and
or
stuff.
Raptor
so
leather?
It's kind of funny how the movie parallels my sweetie. so that's a lot of fun.
You could call it funny or you could call it suspicious. Joanne, I'm at the point now where I halfway believe that Mark isn't even real.
Oh, he's real.
Like, I'm like.
Oh, he's very real.
For anyone to believe that much bullshit.
Yeah.
Went at no point in time questioning. Why is she giving talks? And to whom is she talking to?
She goes to, like, UFO conventions and stuff like that. She goes around to these places. Like, probably MUFON. They discussed them on the last episode.
She's just better at telling Mark's lies to people than Mark is.
Perhaps.
Mark is really good at telling lies to her. Because she believes all that shit anyways.
Yep.
She can then fill in the blanks.
And
where
she's sweet.
Yeah, she is sweet.
She's very sweet. But her proof.
I want to sit down with her and advise her to leave Mark.
I don't think you'd be able to.
I don't think
they
so either.
They courted for 5 years.
If Mark has got her believing that he went to Raptor Army training camp while he was still in high school.
With Dean
in
Martin's
England,
son.
With Dean Martin's son. Which sounds that sounds like so many lies have just gotten so far out of control. Mark is just throwing everything in there.
It's a mad lib. Yeah. Who was there? Where were you? Yeah. What were you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
But her proof that
like
all of
Like De La Soul's production, he is throwing everything in the kitchen sink in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But her proof is that she has the leather jacket.
Yeah, well, that's obvious.
Which obviously proves that he drove motorcycles with raptors.
Proof.
But a little bit later.
Like, you remember in Contact at the end whenever they were like, it's not real, but then there was 24 hours of fuzz?
Mm-hmm.
That proves that Jodie Foster saw an alien.
Sure. A little bit later, they open it up.
She also could have brought back a leather jacket, and that also would have been the same proof.
Perfect proof.
Perfect proof.
So you might have heard typing there during mm-hmm. it. It's because Carrie is also on the live chat. There are people.
She's doing that simultaneously.
Yeah, she's doing the interview while people are asking questions and stuff like. It's good. It's like engagement,
right?
And so a little bit later, towards the end,
what you're saying is she doesn't have a big staff.
She has no staff.
Yeah,
I think she has one other dude who may or may not be her husband. I have no idea.
And it's also Mark.
A little bit later, you do hear him yell stuff from off camera.
Okay. Okay.
So, towards the end of this interview,
the Raptoids are coming.
No, she forgets the name, Stephen Hawking's name. Spoiler alert. Get ready for that.
Do you know why? He doesn't factor into this too much.
No, not really.
Not quite like raptors do.
No. Raptors are real. Yeah. He is fake.
Smartest human in the world? Nah.
Nah.
Raptors? Yeah.
Bingo. So they open it up to the chat and they take some questions and someone asks, why isn't there any proof? And their response.
And they get fucking murderously angry, right?
No.
No.
They get, how would I describe it? They're flummoxed by why would someone ask that? Which is bizarre.
They're less angry and more confused.
Yeah, here's that.
One here wants to know, it's a hard question for me to believe they're asking, but nonetheless, why isn't there any hard proof?
Of what?
Of the, you know, alien visitation to Earth, I guess is what they're trying to say.
Well, if you could get into the Vatican archives, there's plenty of proof.
That's true.
Great.
That is true.
Great.
That's
so
true.
So all you got to do is break into the Vatican.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how all this stuff works, is like, the canard.
Vatican National Treasure 3. That's what we're writing right now. Nicolas Cage, get on it. We'll play you with a raptor.
Oh, that'd be great. I know he wants to star in a movie with a raptor.
I know he wants to be a raptor.
Sure. He has to splice his genes with raptor genes in order to break into the secret archives of the Vatican.
Chimeras. Now we're back at Alex Jones.
Absolutely.
There it is.
This is what they do. The game, along with creating rules for your fictional reality, uh-huh. the proof is in the one place you will never be able to get to. That's how it always has to work.
Oh, of course.
And it almost always is with these conspiracy theories. It's in the Vatican somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They have all of it. All of the stuff was in the Library of Alexandria, but then the Masons or the, was it back then? Who was
the Visigoths? Which one was it? Back, the Library of Alexandria, that would have been, that was taken down by like four different waves of people.
Right.
And really, it just went broke. It's a fascinating story. The Library of Alexandria was just a bureaucratic nightmare. That's really the only issue there. So people had to keep shrinking it down. Nobody wanted to pay for it. Yes, it was looted a bunch of different times. Why?
Because of financial pressures caused by the Reptoids.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
All right.
I was thinking of the Knights Templar.
That's a great one.
The whole legend is like all that stuff got taken from the Library of Alexandria by the Knights Templar.
They're like 900 AD kind
Who
of
cares?
Thing. Alexandria, Library of Alexandria is way back when.
I'm talking about nonsense.
That's not the point. The point is, if we're going to have rules.
We don't have any rules.
Okay, good point.
So this is the last clip of Joanne's interview. And in this, she talks. What's up?
It's so mind-boggling. I just love this is a hard question to ask. Why isn't there any hard proof? And you're like, why is that a hard question for you to ask?
Well, I love that Joanne's response was long pause and then of what?
Yeah, exactly.
Seems like it's pretty obvious what people want to prove.
It seems like it didn't occur to them.
Well,
it never occurred to them that you should require some sort of hard proof.
Well, Carrie, after that, goes on to say
because
a bunch of stuff about
is
like
hard proof.
Puma Punku and like ancient sites and stuff like that. Tiwanaku.
Oh,
what have you.
Absolutely.
But I mean, it's not proof still. Or she mentions like Zachariah Sitchin. I'm like, I've read those books. That ain't proof.
Nah.
But anyway, we get this last clip.
It's that same thing always. It's always the point to the thing that you probably haven't read.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have read it, you didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Even though when you read it, you realize it doesn't say any of what they say it does.
No, I mean, Zachariah Sitchin's books definitely say what they think it says.
It's
wildly unreliable source.
But if you went back to Zachariah Sitchin and were like, okay, well, where's the hard proof for you?
Right.
He'd point you to another book that nobody's read.
By Eric von Daniken.
Yeah, and then you'd go read that and you'd talk to him and he'd point
becomes
you to that.
Circular.
It's just all the way around. Yep. It's turtles all the way down, my friend.
Indeed. So here's this,
It's almost like it shares a lot with religion.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
That's why she has faith, the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Switch raptors for angels and you fucking figured it out.
Angels do play into this.
Okay, never mind.
But be that
I didn't realize that they weren't.
Jordan?
Okay.
This next clip, which is the last of Joanne's interview, is a mic down clip.
Okay.
Because I don't want you interrupting this.
Is she okay?
I don't know. Maybe. She seems.
I want good things to happen to Joanne.
She seems all right.
I want good things to happen to her.
So here in this clip, she starts by talking a little bit about the Dutchman, and then things get a little weird.
Gotcha.
Where while we were publicly at Cold War, when there was a threat to the planet, several countries came together and worked together to save humanity. And his dad was in charge of that for 30 years until he died. And he was active behind the scenes and, you know, probably till right up until he died.
Do you know why he seemed to be a person of note and somebody who had a fair amount of power?
Yeah.
So why is it he was unable to get Mark out of prison?
Mark told me, you know, Mark was off on a mission the day that murder happened. And that's all he will tell me because I figured that much out and he can't tell me where he went or who he was with. And those people can't come forward and say, this is what he was with us that day.
Right.
And the U.S. government military is not going to say, oh, he was working for us that day, because then they would have to say what top secret thing they were working on. And his dad point blank told him, you're not going to break your oath, even to basically save your, and this is not a direct quote, but it's like basically, you're not going to break your military oath and tell the top secret thing you were doing, even if it means that would save your life or keep you out of prison. It's like, you know what your duty is, and your duty is to keep quiet.
Okay.
Because they also thought that the lawyer they had working on at the time was a really good lawyer. He was a well-known lawyer. Because he kept saying, oh, we're doing okay. No, we don't need to object to that. Nobody did, you know, and so he didn't present a very good defense. And he kind of had the family going along thinking, oh, they're doing okay. He's going to get him off and whatever. And he didn't. And again, we don't know if this was all set up from the very beginning or if it just turned into a very convenient way to get Mark out of their hair.
So, Jordan, you were freaking out.
What did Mark do? Mark killed a guy.
Do you want to know?
Mark killed somebody.
No.
Mark 100% killed somebody.
Now it's time.
And they were... So, Okay. Now I'm starting to think. Now I'm starting to think that this whole thing is just created by the entire family in order to avoid dealing with the fact that their son is a murderer.
No, the family is not on board with any of this.
Oh, okay. What about the Dutchman?
He died before Joanne met Mark.
Gotcha.
So now we should probably talk about who Mark Richards is.
Mark Richards is a murderer.
Are you familiar with the
Your Honor, this was the reason that they were mad at the lawyer. They were like, you're not objecting? He was off planet, idiot. Of course that witness didn't see him.
Right.
Gotcha.
Are you familiar with the Pendragon murder plot?
I am familiar with any number of them. I didn't know any of them were real.
This is a very famous murder from 1982 in Marin County, California.
Okay.
This was a situation where Mark Richards he ran like a construction type crew or something along those lines. I'm not entirely sure of all the details. But he had two 17-year-old employees. He was 19 at the time, or 29 at the time.
Okay, I was going to say that's a very different dynamic.
And he was scrapped for cash, and this guy, his name is, Richard Baldwin. He was a guy who ran like a car dealership of sorts.
Reptoid.
He apparently owed Mark some money. And so Mark, one of these 17-year-olds to murder him.
Okay.
He promised the 17-year-old that he would pay him $5,000 and give him a car, and then the kid murdered him, and immediately started bragging about it and talking about it, and they all got arrested.
Yeah.
And it's very clear that Mark is very guilty of this.
Yeah.
The Pendragon part of it comes from after they arrested Mark, they searched his house, and they found that he had a plan to take over Marin County. I don't want to go super in detail about this because
I have never wanted you to do anything else more.
Well, I would recommend everyone go listen to an episode of The Dollop because they covered this in detail on an episode of The Dollop.
No shit.
Yes.
This is that guy.
Yes.
And she is this guy's wife.
Yes.
So this is still the thing.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you go and listen to The Dollop, I'll give you a brief version of just the facts of the case. They found plans for creating lasers that would keep Marin County safe after they had destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge and another bridge.
Of course.
So they could isolate Marin County.
Absolutely.
And turn it into a kingdom where Mark Richards would be basically King Arthur.
Yes.
And have his own dominion. He had tricked these kids into sort of going along with him to the point where he was able to pay one of them to murder a guy. And, they did steal a bunch of shit from him. They stole like a huge bag of weed, a bunch of money, and a safe from him after they murdered him. And they found that and like, oh, well.
Well, yeah, you gotta take that.
It was a sloppy fucking murder. And
of course.
He has clearly a history.
Look, you're not in your prime at 17. That's not prime murdering years, man.
No.
You gotta wait until you're in your early 30s.
29 is decent murder planning years.
Right,
though,
right,
you would
right.
Think.
Yeah.
But I guess it was 1982. There weren't as many TV shows
you could just walk onto a plane back then. It was crazy. Nobody knew anything back then about murder.
Also, you should know that Mark encourages people not to take planes because the reptoids can take them down too easily.
Of course. Absolutely.
Don't take commercial planes. Reptoids.
9/11. Mm-hmm. Never forget reptoids.
So, Mark is doing a bid for murder. He has life without parole.
So Mark is still in jail.
Yes.
God, I love this!
The whole time.
I love this! So this whole time, Mark is in jail. That's why Joanne is giving talks. Because Mark is in jail.
Yeah.
Forever.
Forever.
Forever and ever and ever.
It was so hard to not tip my hand on that. Like, why are they talking to the wife? Because she's in the joint. And
oh god!
And more interesting,
sweet Jesus.
More interesting to look at too is the entire time Joanne's known him, he's been in prison for murder.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she's one of those.
Yes.
Okay.
All the 5 years they were courting and the 14 years that they've been married
letters.
Has been the entire time he's been in prison.
Gotcha.
Yep. Boy, this is fun.
She has found the perfect man for her.
Mm-hmm.
That is, hey, that is great.
It's pretty amazing.
She would hate him if he were out.
I would really, you know what I wish? I wish copyright stuff wasn't real so I could just drop in the entire episode of The Dollop here. I really recommend everyone go listen to it because I don't want to go through exhaustive details. They do such a fucking good job of it.
Yeah.
But suffice it to
Dave
say.
Dave Anthony is great.
Yeah, but suffice it to say, Mark Richards is a murderer, and a con man by trade. He conned these kids and now he's pulling a con on his wife.
Yeah,
on
but
Joanne.
This is a benign, so long as she never actually meets him, like so long as he's never living with her, she's doing great.
She visits him in prison all the
time.
Yeah,
but that's fine. That's fine.
Cause
he's under control. Like, it's totally cool to be married to a psychopathic murderer as long as they're not allowed out.
I guess so.
You can get your emotional needs met.
Right.
She clearly is. She's getting a lot of her needs met.
She's been given an avenue where she can retreat into a fantasy life.
Yeah.
Cause clearly something was wrong with her life before.
And she's doing
fine now. No offense to her. I feel her.
Yeah.
I feel an immense amount of, empathy for her. But her life had to have been a disaster.
Right.
Like in the early 90s whenever she decided to shack up with him in prison.
Yeah.
She's running from something and she's found it in raptors.
Perfect.
Yeah.
She seems like she's doing great.
So now
she seems like she's doing fine. She is 100% happier than I am. That's a guarantee. I guarantee that she lives a happier day-to-day existence than I ever will.
And she makes a decent amount of coin going around telling his stories.
Yeah. That sounds great.
She seems into it, and she has this fantasy in her head of, that castle in London or England, wherever.
Right.
With alien friends coming to visit and shit.
Mark is not allowed out of the country, so good luck, Mark.
So beyond that, in that last clip, you heard, like, he wasn't even there when the murder happened. He was.
He was definitely there.
He was, for sure.
He was not off planet.
I love how
Ginger Carey is with that. She's like, so if, the Dutchman was basically the leader of the entire world's defense for 30 years.
When we were pretending there was a Cold War.
He was the most important man on the planet. Why couldn't he get Mark off? Mm-hmm. Cause you gotta do your duty. You gotta do your duty
well,
and not tell the truth.
You can't, expose things before it's time to expose them.
Oh, of course
it's not.
It's
not time for disclosure of off-world missions and shit like that.
Frankly, Mark is making a heroic sacrifice.
Absolutely.
He is not the engineer of the worst murder ever committed.
It's not the worst.
It's one of the worst.
It's bad.
It's a bad one.
It's sloppy.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
not the worst.
No,
like, there are
no.
so many way worse
I
ones.
Thought you meant grisly. It's bad. It started with a baseball bat and ended with a screwdriver.
Ooh,
so it's a bad murder.
That's not good.
But, they tried to dispose of the body really terribly, too.
Oh, of course they did.
Anyway, who cares? They threw it in the bay.
Well, that'll do it.
And it did not sink.
Problem solved, Dan.
They got caught so
Excuse
quick.
Me. Excuse me. It's in the water.
Yeah.
No one will ever know.
International waters.
No one will ever know.
Yeah.
Taxation is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in the water, it's like home base. You can't get caught.
Yeah. So this is not where the episode ends.
Okay.
Our episode, that is.
All right.
Because you should know that Carrie Callahan, Cassidy.
Yeah, we're never going to not get that
Carrie
right.
Carrie Cassidy has gone to interview Mark in prison.
No!
6 times.
No! Dan! Dan! Okay. I'm in. I'm way in. Do we get to hear some of this?
Oh, yeah.
If he's this good of a comment, I expect to believe in raptors by the end of this episode.
Well, here's the twist.
I don't know anything about raptors, and you know a lot about raptors.
That's the smoothest that's been.
Yeah, I know.
So whenever Carrie Cassidy goes
to... So long as we retreat into a fantasy world, that bit works every time.
So whenever Carrie goes to visit, because he's a murderer, and he's under supervision and has decreased privileges in prison...
Of course.
She can't audio tape him. They won't let her record him. So all she can do is take notes. They allow her to have a pencil, but not a pen, which she brings up every time, in every one of these interviews.
Of course she does.
They let us have a pencil, and that is a victory. So they, she and Joanne go visit him in prison and have these conversations. She takes notes and then makes a video where she reports on the notes.
Excellent.
So we have a video here of her reporting.
I want to go talk to Mark.
I don't think you do.
I think I do.
I gotta do too.
I wanna go ask him about raptors. Fuck. Look, everybody can murder. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can make up a story about raptors versus reptoids versus gray aliens versus the ethereal Nordics and also having multiple children off planet.
Sure. And it gets wilder too. And I understand Joanne's motivation for believing hook, line, and sinker everything this con man is telling her.
Because he's a good con man.
I don't understand why Carrie isn't a little bit more dubious. I don't understand why...
You're talking to the most credulous person in the history of the world.
But at the same time...
You are asking Carrie Cassidy to walk into a conversation with skepticism. Dan, I don't know if that is possible for her.
I am asking her to realize that this guy is a murderer who's lying to people. And just be, if you want to believe the things he's saying, wrestle with it. At least be like, I recognize that it's, you know, his credibility is a little thin.
Account of the murder.
And lying about everything and conning.
But he explained away the murder. He was off planet.
Right, but
so you can't go into that if you know he's off. If you know he was off planet,
take the fucking murder out of it. He planned to create King Arthur's court in Marin County by blowing up bridges and getting a laser
planted on him by the reptoids. That's a classic reptoid move.
Well, unfortunately,
with my limited knowledge of reptoids, right, admittedly,
classic
reptoid move.
Unfortunately, because they know that everyone else knows he was.
Think about it, right? Sun Tzu, that's not really a name.
No,
that's a raptor trying to make up a human name.
Dude, you're totally
they
right.
They wrote The Art of War.
Oh my God.
The reptides stole a copy of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they needed to steal it. They could have just bought one at the local bookshop. Anyways, plant evidence on murderers.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Undoubtedly.
Reptoids.
See, unfortunately, they never really get into the details of the Pendragon.
Oh, they don't?
The Pendragon plot. Because they know if they did, they'd be like, we can't explain a lot of this away. Mm. And it would sound really bad, but I would love to see what they would do. I'd love to see them dance around like, well, now. I mean, they try, the little bit there with like, he was off planet when the murder happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. But then like trying to get like, okay, so he had 17-year-olds that he had indoctrinated into his court of King Arthur's court.
Yep.
How do you respond to that?
Okay, well.
They were actually
they were
synthetic
dad,
humanoids.
His dad had been appointed to head the Earth Defense League. And in order to do that, they pretended to have the Cold War.
Sure.
All right. Now, his dad deputized two ethereals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they all look like they're 17. They're not actually 17 years old. That's just their genetic makeup, right?
You may be onto
they're
something.
They're light elementals.
Yeah.
So they appear like 17-year-olds to us. Okay. Yeah. Now, one of them, yes, one of them did kill the other guy.
But it was a reptoid.
He was compromised by a reptoid.
Okay, okay.
All right. Alexander Dugan got him.
Okay.
They got some compromat.
Okay, dude, let's just get into this.
Okay.
Let's just jump into this.
I'm running out of gas. I was really hoping you would save that.
So I've spent, maybe 10 hours of my life that I can't get back listening to Carrie Cassidy explain what happened to her when going to interview Mark Richards in prison.
Okay.
I am saving all of you the trouble of listening to all of that bullshit and just playing the fun stuff, because there's a lot of it that is terrible. So here, it's all mostly from one of the videos, her third trip. Seems to be the most, because the first one, it's the first time she'd ever met him. There's a little bit of like trust issue.
Yeah.
Second one isn't all that great. And then the third one, we get some just juicy details.
Okay.
So here's her introducing, what we're going to get into.
Hi, I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. I just returned from interviewing Captain Mark Richards of the Secret Space Program.
Captain.
And this was my third interview with him. I go to Vacaville, Northern California, and we go to a prison. I am accompanied by his wife, Joanne Richards, and it's a It's actually, not that fun to go to a prison, as you can appreciate, but at the same time, it's worth it because Mark Richardson is an amazing man and has a huge amount of information about the secret space program and what's really going on.
He doesn't, and he's not an amazing man, but, you are the most gullible person in the world.
I mean, in a certain sense of the word, Mark Richards is an amazing man.
He amazes.
He is amazing.
Yeah. At lying to people.
Oh, there's much to be amazed at.
Yeah. You know what? I'm thinking that,
the problem with that word is it has a positive connotation as opposed to just in a vacuum, the definition.
The thematic motif that connects this to our normal Alex Jones episodes is we're
horrifying, monstrous men lying to women all the time.
Well, yeah, if you ever saw Alex talk to Leanne McAdoo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just con men. Yeah. It's just con men really hurting people. Because, like, Carrie Cassidy has dedicated her life to this shit.
Yeah.
She thinks that Mark Richards is a real whistleblower. Like, he, along with, I can't remember the fucking dude's name that we went over on the last one, the super soldier guy.
Yeah.
These are big, like, sources of information for her. So, she's,
is this her job? Does she do this for a living?
I think so. I think she gets donations from people, and, that's that. I mean, if you look at her fucking YouTube channel, they get hella downloads.
Right,
don't look at me like that. It's crazy. I mean, it's entertaining on some level, but like I'm telling you, we're listening to the good stuff.
Yeah.
There's hours of boring.
Yeah.
So, what's not boring is this next clip, Jordan. Listen to this shit.
Nicely done.
Thank you. You might be asking yourself, how did Mark get around in space?
That is a really good question.
Yeah.
Are we talking about some Ender's Game? You know.
I can't answer this.
The enemy's gate is down. What's going on here?
I can't answer that question, but, Carrie can.
He flew, an artificially intelligent, biologically intelligent, not sure how you frame that, spaceship called Minerva. And he was one of the few people, if not the only person who could fly that spaceship. She comes from another solar system altogether.
She would have to.
And she considers herself to be a biological creation the way we are.
Cute.
Although, I guess in essence, she is what you might call artificially intelligent.
That's what I'd call her. So I want to put this coda on that clip. I don't have the audio of this, but in the Joanne interview, it's out of context, so it wouldn't have made sense if I played it back then. But she asks if she has ever met Minerva.
That's a good question as well.
And Joanne's response breaks my heart because it's this, oh, no, I haven't, but I'd love to meet the sweet thing.
Of course.
And it's just so sad. It's so sad. She has an emotional bond with this imaginary artificial intelligence spaceship that her lying murderer husband told her about. And he's the only one who can fly it. Update on the fifth trip that she goes and visits Mark. It turns out they learn that a couple other people have been able to fly her.
I was going to say, she said he may be the only one, if not the, like, he could be.
At that point, at the time of this recording, he was the only one.
He's the only one.
But then in the future, we learn that a couple other people have mastered Minerva.
Ugh. The artificial biological intelligence spaceship another solar system.
And it's an acronym that no one knows what it means.
I assume they just chose it based on, Minerva is a goddess of wisdom, right?
Also it's an acronym and they don't know what it stands for.
Minerva.
I'm guessing V is vehicle.
Near every racial vehicle.
You spelled that way wrong.
Minerva.
You said near every?
N-E.
M-I.
M,
it's
yeah.
Minerva.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Minerva. M stands for Minerva.
Oh, pardon me.
See, there you go.
Okay.
Of course M stands for Minerva in the acronym spelling Minerva.
Okay.
This makes perfect sense.
All right.
Mark Richards would back me up on this one.
V
I
is
guarantee it.
Definitely vehicle.
Vehicle.
That's all I know.
What ends, what goes after vehicle in an acronym?
Got nothing.
Yeah, right?
I didn't make up this lie. Don't fucking ask me. There is a really funny moment where someone asks what Minerva stands for, and Joanne is like, I'll ask him. I don't know.
I bet Minerva is really nice, though.
I bet is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So,
although, if she was really nice, why is it that Mark is the only one able to fly her?
Because they had such a bond. It's like a horse.
Oh, it's an emotional bond kind of situation.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
We're going to go with some like literal avatar. You put your braid together with the ship.
1,000%.
Gotcha.
Yes. So in this next clip, we get into an issue that I didn't know.
Does he have a kid with Minerva? That's the next question I want to ask.
Jury is out.
Okay.
Don't know.
All right.
This next clip gets into an issue I didn't know was an issue. But it turns out it is.
All right.
And it relates to our world more than we ever knew.
Okay.
This is interesting stuff here.
Now, I also talked to him, asked him about the Falklands War and the black goo, which had been discovered there by the Marconi scientists, and there are at least 25 of them which died in very mysterious ways surrounding that story. And I've done a number of live stream interviews with other people, including investigators such as David Griffin, on this subject. Now, Mark did acknowledge the black goo, and I have had other witness behind the scenes testimony talking about it being artificially intelligent. It is also what the Gulf spill, oil spill, was all about as well. And what they're really combating is this black goo.
Oil spills are actually artificially intelligent black goo.
Now, she did not say all oil spills.
Well, that one.
That one in particular.
I would assume some of the other ones also.
Well, because you could really assume that anything that looks black and is goo, they probably assume it's
tar.
That. Yeah, exactly. That's why do you think we get lung cancer?
Totally. It's black artificially goo. Intelligent cigarettes.
Black goo.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's good stuff. That's just good stuff. I also think that's X-Files.
Yeah.
I think that's the X-Files. As I haven't watched the X-Files in a really long time, but there was that alien guy who, there would be black goo. Like, there would be that black liquid that would get into people, like go into their eyes and shit. This is X-Files.
Well, I mean, you could also go with, the symbiote from, Spider-Man.
Sure,
you could do that. You could do Venom.
There's all kinds of, predictive programming, man.
Right. Well, there's a very,
lesser magic.
There's the well-known gray goo thought experiment, which is, what happens if we develop artificially intelligent nanobots?
Oh, yeah.
If they can self-replicate, eventually they'll use everything to replicate, and then we'll all just turn into some sort of gray goo.
Right.
So, that could be what they're afraid of. The black goo is we're gonna need DJ Danger Mouse to get the black goo and the white goo together and make the gray goo. This is how it works. No? Not gonna happen.
No, sir.
Not giving me the black album and the white album, huh?
No, but what I am gonna give you is more facts about, raptors.
Please do.
Here comes some more raptor shit. This one is also about how they fund, movies.
Now, obviously, movies, TV, and the lies in the news are contributing to this overall, sort of mass amnesia and a fear-based paradigm.
Makes sense!
Then he also wanted to remind me, as he said in the prior interview, that raptors are funding movies and television. There's this latest dinosaur traveling event, which is called... what's it called?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He also talked about the recent traveling show called Walking with Dinosaurs. That's this event in which small dinosaurs like raptors are mixed in with other dinosaurs. And that he said that some real raptors are actually showing up and participating.
I thought they were going to get laid.
Gonna have,
turns out they weren't real raptors.
Feet, you know, motivating the mechanical object, but they look very real and therefore people aren't able to tell the difference. So it's just something they like to do, something they consider fun.
They do consider it fun, and why wouldn't they? I want to say that I saw one of these dinosaurs from Walking with the Dinosaurs up close, and it looks real when it's moving towards you fast because they're too big. They're like, they are, it's uncomfortable because it's something that looks like it's lumbering at you.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at it motionless, it doesn't, it looks like a machine. Like it doesn't look like a, it doesn't look like, if I saw a raptor alien next to one,
uh-huh,
it would be very clear.
Right.
No matter how still that raptor could stand, it would be so fucking clear.
Now, here's just a really,
this is nonsense.
Really easy question.
Yeah.
Really easy question. Feathers?
No.
Well, then it's bullshit.
Not really. There's science is out.
Not out.
Science is out.
Not out.
Who cares?
Feathers. They now, all had feathers.
What you need to know is there is some credence to this idea that the raptors are funding movies.
Okay. All right.
Because in another interview that Carrie does with...
Are you sure it isn't Soros?
Yes, it is. Well, it might be a metaphor.
Okay. All right.
But there is a, there's another interview that she does with Mark where he talks about how, the banks get tons of raptor money. They get $300 million.
Is this a Pez dispenser? Is it? Are we getting back to Jews again? Why do people do this? What is wrong with people?
This is one of the most poorly
disguised.
What is happening? Yeah.
Mark hates Jews.
Well,
he's in prison. Of course he hates Jews.
I think
he has to.
I think that Mark has some issues, but they aren't like, this isn't as pezzy as a lot of other things that we've discussed.
Oh, do you mean a shadowy group controlling film and TV?
Well, I mean, there are parallels.
Yeah, there could be. Could be some pez dispensing going on.
And the idea that these aliens are funneling money into the banks and controlling everything and,
of course,
yeah, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And we'll get into actually even a little bit more why it's a little troubling that Carrie Cassidy doesn't see any of these trends in the things that he's talking about. But be that as it may, let's get to the next clip where we learn even more about these here raptors. Then this clip is great.
He said his father was his role model, and his father has passed on.
Did a great
job. The dragon leader, a raptor, met with Ellis Richards, the Dutchman, at Hamilton Air Force Base.
Call him
August
the Dutchman
1952,
boy.
And they, at that time, were very impressed with his honorable qualities and as a military leader.
Hell yeah.
He said that the raptors rent castles in the United Kingdom.
Don't buy them.
The home
rent them.
Office there negotiates with them. That they choose ones that are in out of the way places like Scotland and or heavily guarded.
Do they sign a lease?
He said that even the guards don't see them. They often don't know who they're guarding. They may form a perimeter on the outside. He said the raptors have a sorcery. He called it.
There it is.
That can basically cloud the human mind and make them forget what they've seen. They do not like to go interdimensional. He said they're
very much here in this dimension
because I was very curious whether they, since there aren't that many sightings of raptors, whether they went into interdimensional, but apparently not so much. He said Earth is the home planet of the raptors. 65 million years ago, they left Earth during a cataclysm to colonize space using stolen technology from another ET race. He said they didn't totally understand the tech they were using. They spent a very long time being caught on the inner ring of the galactic center, Sagittarius
A.
And in fact, just recently, the physicist, what was his name?
Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
The physicist,
the
Stephen Hawking.
The lame physicist who doesn't believe in aliens,
talked about
Stephen
there being
Hawking.
An inner ring to the galactic center. And he said they actually stayed with a ship poised on that ring for quite some time. In other words, possibly even thousands of years, our time. And finally figured out they needed to voyage
Central
further
time?
Their homeworld. They selected a homeworld in the Draco constellation, and it is now called Dragon World.
Apparently, they bit on the nose, raptors.
We have not found that planet yet.
Oh, we haven't. Dragon World.
In the Draco system, because where right. the raptors must have saw that and been like, oh, duh.
Durr.
They got their galactic map out. They saw Draco system and they're like, where else are we going to go?
Well, that's where the reptilians are from. They're from the Draco. They're like draconian aliens.
The reptoids? But the raptors are from here.
Right.
Okay, so if I understand the timeline
they're
correctly.
They're not fully related. The reptilians and the reptoids aren't fully related.
Right. If I understand the raptors' timeline correctly.
Earth.
All right. 65 million years ago.
Earth.
Chilling out on Earth.
Yes.
They see.
Spaceships.
A catastrophe coming.
Right.
All right.
Oh shit, look up there.
Yeah. Check out. So, they steal technology from another extraterrestrial, from a different, at the time, only extraterrestrial race.
Because at this point, the raptors
are terrestrial.
They are not extraterrestrial.
No, they're just raptors. Yeah. They're just hanging out.
Yeah.
So they steal that technology.
Gotcha.
Which they don't necessarily know how to use.
Nope.
But they get off planet.
Yes.
Now they get off planet and they're just tooling around having themselves a day. All right. Then they get caught in the intergalactic ring.
Right.
Where they're stranded, possibly even for thousands of years our time.
Which brings into the question food.
Not important. They ate each other's feathers.
Fair. Science is out.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm hearing what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't see a question coming.
This just establishes that the timeline only has roughly a few thousand years accounted for as opposed to the 65 million.
Oh, because they found Dragon World.
Oh, relativistic travel.
But they also found Dragon World.
Okay.
They lived on Dragon World and evolved.
And then they came back, come back here just out of nostalgia?
Well, they do get into it a little bit. It's a fun vacation spot.
It is. Well, that I believe.
They like the commerce here.
Of course.
They like humans.
Love movies.
Of course you gotta go to your home. It's like, fish swimming upstream to spawn.
Right. No, that makes sense.
So there's that element of it.
Right.
And then the other one, there was a decent explanation. I mean, it wasn't, but. How the fuck did that come out of my mouth?
There was a decent explanation. I believe the bar has been set low enough for decent to mean very little.
There was something offered as to why they came back here.
Uh-huh.
It has to do with like
the
the climate's good. And for now.
Poor raptors. You guys didn't even know what we could fuck up.
The climate is temperate and mining is good. Because if you try and mine on an asteroid, there's no gravity. And so since Earth has gravity, it's much easier to mine for stuff. We get into the need for gold and shit like over again.
Now we get back into, like, I love it when things get so imaginative and fun and then they bring it back to something dumb that tears it, that brings it all back into reality. And then you have to go like, well, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. They bring it to
did they travel untold thousands of light years for gold? That makes perfect sense.
From Dragon World. There was no gold on Dragon World.
So who the fuck cares?
Everyone knows that.
If there was no gold on Dragon World, they would have developed their own fucking economic system wherein gold wouldn't have been the basis for it.
No, see,
they would be using something else. They wouldn't still be randomly coveting race memories of gold.
Well, gold wasn't a financial thing back when raptors ran around on Earth.
That we know of.
Right, fair.
How else did they get the ET technology?
Well, the thing that you're not taking into account is like that I have read the Zachariah Sitchin books. And one of the things that he talks about is the Anunnaki aliens that came, like Enki and Enlil.
Yeah.
And then the reason that they came here to mine for gold was because the gold was needed to fix the atmosphere of their planet. They needed some sort of like aerosolized gold that would protect the hole that was coming that was in their stratosphere. Or
okay, so we're getting into Independence Day. They're coming for our resources, kind of thing.
Gotcha. Because they need to fix their planet.
Of course.
That's generally what alien mining comes down to.
Uh-huh.
But then also there is the idea that they like to eat like people. So there's some.
I mean, that's cool.
They do like Carrie and Joanne do discuss how like look the raptors are cool. They're cool, but they might, if one of them's mad, they might eat a kid.
Hey, that is, look, they're raptors, your people. You know, I think you're cool.
Sure.
But you'd probably eat a chicken.
I think.
So a raptor, to other raptors, he's a super cool dude, but sometimes raptors eat people. It's just a regular thing.
Honestly.
We're all part of the food chain, Dan. Turns out raptors, I mean, space traveling super raptors.
Mm.
They're higher up on the food chain.
This is an indication that I've done too much therapy in my life. But when I hear it being relayed from Mark that raptors are cool, but if they're frustrated, they might eat a kid. I'm hearing him trying to confess to murder.
That's a great point.
I hear it. I hear it, and it's him trying to be like, I'm not a bad guy,
listen,
but in a bad position,
cool,
I killed a
but
kid.
But something happened, and yes, there was a death.
And the kid part of it is probably projecting that he destroyed the life of these 17-year-olds.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's probably some sort of like really weird, nascent guilt that he's feeling that he can only express through raptors and their nature.
Yeah.
And what have you.
Oh, that would be an interesting thing. If you have him write an actual like sci-fi novel...
Which
would
he
it,
may have. I'm not
would
sure.
Would it just basically be the retelling of how he murdered that guy?
It would just be like, if I did it.
Yeah, exactly. It would be exactly
but
that.
But with raptors.
But with raptors.
Yeah.
If raptors did it, here's how they would have killed Nicole Brown Simpson.
So here we're done with raptors for the time being, but we get a little bit into reptoids in this next clip.
Good.
I should tell you that this third interview was recorded... like in 2014.
I was gonna say, that was, cause you were talking about the traveling dinosaur show, and that would have been a while back.
Yeah, and she's gone, like I said,
she's
gone six times,
like
and
new.
This is the third, installment of her travels to this prison. And it's relevant because of, some hot button issue that comes up that was big in 2014 that we've largely forgotten about now.
I think it's possible, that the Japanese, royalty as well as, the royal bloodlines are also possibly, related to those, particular reptoids. Now, the raptors, say there's a serious, agenda, apparently, according to Mark. He believes that, Ebola is all about eradicating large number of reptoid species. And just to clarify, the reptoids and the raptors are at war with each other. So that's part of why the raptors have aligned themselves with us. They also looked in the future, and this is on my prior interview. The princess looked into the future of her race and saw that if the raptors align themselves with human, they have a very positive future. If they don't, their future is less positive. So at this time, their treaties, they are honoring their treaties, and they are basically siding and working with our military.
A couple important things. The raptors are precognitive.
Yes.
Which is interesting. That's a nice wrinkle to this.
Of course they are.
And then also if you didn't catch that, what she was saying is that Ebola is designed to take out reptoids.
Oh, so if you know, somebody who died from Ebola, you know now that they were actually reptoids.
Probably.
The entire time.
In 2014, the, crisis was largely in West Africa.
Mm-hmm. And the Japanese royalty is reptoids.
But yeah, but
they come from a reptoid bloodline.
None of this makes sense.
No,
because Ebola didn't go to Japan.
But it's vaguely racist.
It is.
It's
because you know why? Because
it's racist in a way that makes me go like, I can't quite pin down how this is really bad.
Well, because there's,
but I can feel the racism coming from you.
Because there's a binary to it. There's reptoids bad,
right?
Raptors good, and when you look
except, at... Except, of course, for star-crossed lover situations, which have to have happened.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Undoubtedly. This precognitive raptor princess probably banged around with a reptoid.
Oh, of course.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. She grew up in SoCal, basically.
Basically. Basically. So this next clip, we get into some more world history looked at through the prism of reptoids and raptors.
Raptors, reptoids.
He said that Hiroshima and Nagasaki were blown up because of a huge reptoid base underneath those cities, and that is crucial information. And I don't believe has ever been out in any other form on the internet.
Wonder why.
He said that the Japanese believe their royal bloodline comes from the stars, and he says it is related to the reptoids. He doesn't believe the reptoids are directly involved in the U.S. military, and I would sort of put a caveat here because he has been out of the loop for 30 years. He does get information. He still has contacts in the military,
sure,
etc. But I also will say that his contacts and
he was only secretly dead.
Sort of back channel information will come from what we know of as white hats. I believe that the U.S. military is infiltrated by reptoids.
What, with carrier pigeon?
Yeah, I guess so. But like, I mean, here we go. I like at least that she's pushing back a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Her version is still nuts, but at least it's like, now based on what I know, the Reptoids are in our government. So, I mean, you've been in prison for all this time. You don't fucking know.
It is fun that she, even in this weird fantasy world, she has a more pessimistic, like, look, this fucking naive hero.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know that Reptoids have infiltrated the highest levels of our military.
If only.
If only.
But if you only go.
We need more men like him and the Dutchman to get these Reptoids out of our military.
Totally. Like Mike Flynn. That's what he was doing. Trying to get the Reptoids out.
Trying to get the Reptoids out.
So the other thing is, if you want to look at it just through the prism of Mark's eyes, America does not have Reptoids in it. Japan does. And
West Africa. Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's very strange.
Very weird.
Who are the globalists?
I mean, globalists don't really come up in Carrie's world.
Right. But, okay. So, if we're going to put this, if we're going to switch, okay, if we're just going to take one fantasy world and move it into our own fantasy world that we play in a lot more.
Right. The globalists are working with the Reptoids, or the Reptoids are possessing the globalists.
Okay.
Or something like that. Because Alex does talk about demonic possession
a lot.
But
the Raptors control entertainment.
Right.
Now, here's my feeling. All right. The Raptors are the globalists.
Interesting.
Okay. They're tricking all of us in the same. And look, if Mark Richards is friends with the Raptors.
Oof, they're bad.
We know they're bad.
They're terrible.
We know this is bad.
Yeah.
Mark Richards is an anti-Reptoid propagandist.
Oh, shit.
And everything he says they're doing to us is what the Raptors are doing to us.
So the Reptoids are the good guys.
The Reptoids are the good guys.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. This is what happens when you conflate the left with the Raptors.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
These lefty, trendy Raptors.
These alt-Raptors.
Come on, Mike Cernovich isn't a real name. That's a Raptor name.
It's a Raptor.
That's
trying to come
a Raptor.
Up with the human name.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to punt on the Raptor Reptoid dichotomy, and I'm just going to side with the Pleiadians. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
They seem pretty cool.
The Ethereals. Gotcha.
So now we're going to get into a couple of clips that are so fucking hilarious. These next two clips are like, I have to assume, they are Mark testing the waters and seeing what Carrie will believe.
Seeing how far he can go.
I have to assume, because these two are fucking weird.
Mark must be having the greatest time.
He has to be.
Like, as a con man, he's never had it easier, right?
He's gotta be so bored in prison.
He's gotta be so bored, and then this wide-eyed lunatic comes up to him and he just gets to say whatever he wants.
And she has a platform of like millions of people who watch these videos.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
He's getting to, and we're talking about him.
Oh, of course.
So, just listen to this shit.
He said a lot of reverse engineering is handled by corporations, not controlled by Congress, and that he was involved in tracking ETs and possibly securing them similar to Torchwood, and information related to what Tony Dodd, our Camelot witness, who came forward talking about Torchwood and the truth of those agents that are going around arresting and picking up ETs that are walking among us.
Isn't that a Doctor Who spin-off?
He also talked about the TSA scanners and said there are the dogs that are supposed to be smelling for drugs are actually looking for ETs. They're not looking for drugs. And so contrary to what people think, and the TSA scanners are actually used to determine whether you're human.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
That makes sense.
Sure. Well, that one checks out.
Why else would you have to raise your hands? Dan, you have to raise your hands over your head. Raptors can't do that, Dan.
You don't know if Reptoids can.
Oh, that's a good point.
But anyway, that one, all right, fine. If you want that one to be okay, it
but
checks
again,
out.
Why would the Reptoids want to do that? They've infiltrated the TSA.
That's fair.
They're going for the Raptors.
Now, fine. You're going to give that one a pass. Here's this next one.
Androids. There are many androids that are a risk. We have a risk of them replacing those in power.
Androids. Let's get into it.
He acknowledged that risk. He said the Joint Chiefs are checked weekly and give up what he called biological material to verify that they are still human. He said that there are also androids in the Congress and that certain members may be
oh, that I buy.
Been
I buy that immediately.
Transitioned into androids or replaced by androids, however you want to put that.
So yeah, the Joint Chiefs of Staff have to get tested weekly.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff can't be androids.
No.
But if an android is in Congress, everybody's like, okay, well, sooner or later, androids are going to get
it. What are you going to do?
Well, you win some, you lose some androids.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Totally.
Can't have them on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, though.
Mm-mm.
That's just crazy.
I mean, buried in there is that we've developed android tests.
We already knew that.
Yeah, that's old hat.
Hey.
So.
Oh, man.
Here's this next clip. It gets a little pezzy. This is a little pezzy.
That's what I was worried about.
He said Israel is run by one race of beings and Vatican by another. The two races are at odds with each other and wish to wrap humans into fighting their battles on the ground. And he didn't want to name the race that is backing Israel. Hmm. He's quite careful about that. It appears that race
want to see
is the Anunnaki. However, from my interpretation, indications are that this is a Sitchin Anunnaki race spoken about by Zachariah Sitchin in his books.
Okay.
So what the Anunnaki are bad guys, I'm assuming.
Yeah, sure. Okay. They came and created us as a slave race in order to get gold.
Okay.
That was what they came for initially.
Alright,
yeah.
So again, we're in real Pez territory here.
And they run Israel according to Kerry. That wasn't what Mark said. Mark Mark wouldn't name the group that.
Right.
Israel.
But it was Clarence Thomas, just to be sure. Yeah.
Israel and the Vatican are run by competing alien groups that are trying to mix us up in their skirmishes. That is fucked up. Just cause you're adding aliens to it doesn't mean like, Who do all the conspiracy theorists pretty much point fingers at? The Jews and the Catholics.
Yeah.
Those are two massive groups the conspiracy theorists go after. And the idea that you're just like, well, look, of course you guys are right, big picture. But what you're missing the forest for the trees.
It's aliens.
It's raptors.
It's aliens.
Yes.
It's raptors. It's the Anunnaki. Name it. It's Sitchin. He got you all covered.
Yeah. So ridiculous. So ridiculous.
I like the idea that she's really just getting Mark into like weird political conversations.
Mm-hmm.
like imagine you actually believe in raptors, reptoids, the Anunnaki.
This is hard to imagine, but I'm trying.
And all of these people are here simultaneously.
Yes.
All of whom are competing to secretly control everything.
Mm-hmm.
None of whom have at all leaked it to other places in order to discredit the other side.
No.
These are very bad. They're bad at what they do. Okay.
Much like Mark and murder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, all of this is amazing. All of this is true. Tell me more about space. Tell me about what you've seen. Tell me about all this stuff. No. I'm going to tell you about Israel.
You have to assume that Mark is kind of guiding the conversation.
Yeah, I would assume so.
I mean, Kerry clearly feels privileged to be there talking to him.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's just got some shit he wants to get out.
Yeah, and you know what else he wants to talk about? The Malaysian plane.
What?
Because, again, this interview took place in 2014.
Wrap all of them up together. Wrap them all up together.
We went back and tried to find out what Alex Jones said about the Malaysian plane. Not a great dig. We couldn't really find him having too much of a theory on it. Mark fucking Richards knows exactly what happened, and it's bullshit that the MSM, the mainstream media, won't get off their fucking high horse, their raptor-controlled high horse, and report the truth. And here's the truth.
Okay, what's the truth?
We also talked about MH Flight 370, and he said it was pushed into a dimensional shift because four people on board, and one in particular, was building a time-shifting machine that was too accurate, and they had to take them out because they didn't want them to get into the hands of the Chinese, or their work to get in the hands of the Chinese.
All right.
The Chinese seem like such a bit player if we're already on time-shifting technology. Also, we gotta put them into a... We have perfectly functional dimensional shift technology.
Sure.
But this time shift technology?
For the Raptoids.
Too good.
Well, but that, it's too good for humans to possess.
Oh, okay.
Because if we could control time, then who knows what the fuck would happen.
Right.
Especially
right,
if the Chinese could control time.
Yeah, why is this?
I don't know.
We can't let
it. The Chi-Coms.
We can't let it get into the Chinese.
So now we're actually into Alex Jones territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Being scared of the Chinese.
Yeah, of course.
But beyond that.
We can't, like, we, yeah.
This clip goes on much further where Carrie explains that this is where Mark tells her never to fly a commercial because that could just get time shifted. Or they could go into another dimension like that.
Easy. Yeah. Easy.
They do it all the time.
Do they?
Apparently.
I feel like they don't.
I feel like they don't also.
It was kind of a big deal when the Malaysian plane disappeared. Everybody talked about it for a long time.
For months.
For a long time.
Yeah.
If they're doing it all the time, wouldn't we have been like, Jesus, why do all these planes keep disappearing?
Lost was actually a documentary.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Man in Black was a Reptoid.
Ah, I knew it.
So we got one more.
Or was he a raptor in disguise?
No, that was Jacob. Jacob was a raptor.
All right.
Or no, it'd have to be the other way around. Unless you actually believe that the message of the show was that Jacob was the bad guy.
Yes.
And that the Man in Black was actually the one espousing. I don't
fucking
care.
Wait, but which.
Jacob was the good guy.
Which way have we decided that he's lying to us about the raptors?
Mark or Mark. The Man in Black?
Frankly, at this point, whichever you feel like answering.
Mark is 100% lying about everything.
Okay. So that means that the raptors are bad and the Reptoids are good.
No, none of them exist.
Stop it.
Stop
it, Dan.
That's the part.
You're gonna hurt Mark's feelings.
That's the part,
okay?
That's the lie.
I don't want this to get back to poor Joanne.
Right.
And have her hear that these two internet funny men.
Right.
Are just ragging on this sweet little woman.
She is very sweet.
And her. Murdering husband.
Mm-hmm. So we got one more clip here, and in this, Carrie explains a question that Mark did not want to answer, and it's not, "Hey, what about that murder?" which is what I thought it was going to be.
That's what I would ask right away.
No, it's something actually. It's a little different, and it opens up a weird can of worms.
Also, if he doesn't know something, he doesn't seem shy about admitting that. In some cases, he will say he will go research something and get back to me on it.
Well, that's good.
So that also
I like
was
a man
happening.
Who's humble.
There was only one question in particular that he didn't want to answer. And that particular question was, I had gotten a download, you might say, to be sure and ask him whether or not he was currently going on missions. And the answer, to that question of all questions was not forthcoming. Almost every other question I asked him, without fail,
so he didn't want to talk about
whether that particular one. He did give me a nonverbal answer in which he smiled and sort of nodded and indicated that yes, he is going on missions.
I wonder what that.
In other words, out of body. We did talk about time travel. Talked about using the Macaba or light body in order to do so. He says human beings are time travelers. And he seems very familiar with the concept. So this is something worth noting. And obviously, if he's able to do this, this makes being in prison for 30 years much more livable.
Yeah, if you can time travel and go out of body, being in prison would be no big deal, really.
Why would you need to do either of those things?
Well, because you've got to go on
missions. Yeah, but you work with interdimensional beings.
Right. Where do you meet them? In the dimension where you get out of your body.
I mean, yeah, but they could just dimension you in, dimension you out. I don't know how their tech works. If we're just talking about magic, we might as well just say, you don't even need to go out of body. You can just be out.
Well, you need.
You could just physically get out.
No, see, because the Reptoids are the ones who disappeared the Malaysian plane, and he's not down with them. Mm. So they're the ones who have the dimension shifting technology.
Okay.
So he wouldn't have access to that. The Raptors probably don't have that, and they don't like to go interdimensional.
No, that's true. The
we
Raptors.
Learned that earlier.
They can, but they're not big
they're
fans
not
of
into it.
No, they prefer, of course, out of body.
And just sorcery.
And, of course, scrying into the future, I believe.
I imagine you could have an amazing prison break where a bunch of raptors show up and hex all the guards with their sorcery.
They cloud their minds.
Yeah, exactly. And then they break Mark out of the joint. He rides out on a raptor back.
These aren't the raptors you're looking for.
What the fuck?
Oh, God. Carrie, I love you.
Yeah, so.
God love you, Carrie.
That brings us to the end of our raptor investigation. But
what conclusions can we draw?
Well, I have one conclusion.
Okay.
And it's something that Carrie says that indicates to me that she knows on some level, whether it's conscious or not, that Mark is a dude who committed murder.
Okay.
Here is this drop.
But he's also the kind of guy that you don't want to mess with. So, which is, you know, very interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
That's the only true thing, I think, that it was said on this episode by any of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Is not the kind of guy you want to mess with.
Well, she could just mean that in that he isn't an interdimensional space warrior. Well,
I wouldn't want to mess with that either.
I would not.
Or a guy who paid a kid $5,000 in a car to murder somebody with a screwdriver.
A guy who murdered somebody is somebody I don't want to mess with.
Totally.
But also interdimensional space warrior.
Sure. If Raptor's got your back, I don't want to mess.
Yeah, I don't want to get in there.
I don't want none.
Frankly, I'm a little scared that we're talking about this at all.
Quite frankly, I agree. We should run away. Let's end this.
Look. All I'm saying, guys, everybody listen to this, make sure you stay out of arm's reach of a raptor.
It's a very short reach.
Very short, but you want to make sure you do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, raptors are apparently cool.
Reptoids, not.
No.
Pleiadians, cool.
Great.
Gray aliens?
Mercenaries.
Black goo, bad.
Bad.
All oil.
Also smart.
Super intelligent.
Minerva, smart plane.
SoCal? Basically.
Basically. Except it wasn't. It was NorCal. So that might be what the basically was.
I think that's the real issue. That's where this all went wrong.
Yeah.
She never even knew where she was born.
If I could leave everyone with one thing to sum up the experience and what we've learned here, it's that when you are watching a TV show, ask yourself, did raptors pay for this? And if they did,
check the credits. You'll know. Check the credits. Why do you think they go by so fast now? They used to have them, on sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
They used to have them.
Preach.
Yeah, they would have them right on the name.
Totally.
You would announce that it was a sitcom, Family Matters.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
You would have the name of the
with Reginald Val Johnson.
Oh yeah,
that's a fake name.
Jaleel White. Yeah.
Fake name.
Jaleel?
Come on.
That's not a name.
Please.
Raptor.
Yep.
Did I do that?
And if you see like a name that looks silly in the like for the gaffer or like catering or something like that, some joke name.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
No.
It's raptors.
It's a raptor trying to make up a human name.
It's not like some on-set goof that they, you know, they made a pun name or something like that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
It's raptors trying to expose themselves. And
the credits of the yearly Simpsons House of Horrors episodes? You think those are fake names? No. Those are actually their raptor counterparts.
Yep. Every year, raptors take over the Simpsons for one episode.
For one episode, yep. Mm-hmm. They write three vignettes.
It's because they like cartoons, but they only want to make kind of scary cartoons.
Absolutely. Well, they're not from here.
No. They don't understand humor.
Well, they are from here, but they're not from here.
Right. They spent a lot of time abroad.
Yeah. Possibly even thousands of years.
Yeah. Well, lost. Lost in
our
space.
Time.
Yeah. So, again, if you do find these raptor shows, just try and analyze what they're saying. And,
yeah.
And if the message doesn't seem human, don't believe it.
Yeah.
They're trying to get in your brain.
And if it's Zionist, probably the Anunnaki.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Jesus.
So, Jordan, has been fun.
I just hate it that somehow racism infiltrates even this bullshit.
Yep.
Like, how can you still be, how can you believe in raptors and reptoids and still be like, the Jews are hiding something? Like, you can't do that.
Well, cause Mark is
you
crazy.
You should be on another, you got a whole nother step to go, man.
Because Mark is-
Leave the earth races alone.
Mark was nuts before he went to prison.
Yes, that's
true. That's why.
That's true.
And when you're in prison, I imagine that it's pretty easy for racism to get worse.
Yeah.
I would assume. I've not done any bids in the joint, but from every documentary I've watched, every raptor-produced show about life in prison,
right.
It seems like there are harsh racial divisions. So I imagine that that's informing some of his mentality.
I would guess.
So anyway, like I said, this has been fun, Jordan.
This has been... oh man.
What a break.
On the way here, I just couldn't get out of my head this thought that, my girlfriend had where like, What I'm thinking now about how the world is ending is actually the most optimistic scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the world doesn't end, it's going to be so much worse.
Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be, it's just going to keep going.
Right, right, yeah. Right. The best possible outcome is that we all just blip out.
No, you know? I think actually the best possible scenario, I don't want to get too deep into this because we're already, you know, we're at 2 hours or so.
Nah.
But like, I think the best possible scenario is that unfortunately, it's kind of inevitable that things are going to keep getting worse.
Yeah.
But then that coiled spring will blow back the other direction, and some of these maybe more socialist type policies like healthcare for all, these sorts of things will happen, and we'll start to see the benefits of them.
Well,
like,
Kamala Harris just came out and supported
indeed.
Medicare for all, which
indeed.
Is nice.
And
she's got a good track record. I like her.
She has a largely good track record.
Yeah.
Every politician's gonna have some problems, which is pretty great.
It's the game.
Yeah. I think that what you'll see is a massive swing the other direction and, super liberal shit will reign. And I think that, the world will see that that's a much better way to go and hopefully we'll stick with that. But the reality is that will probably breed a super hard right shift immediately after that.
It's like a seismograph.
Yeah.
Like the pendulum is out of whack. Man.
Yeah. We're stuck in now a massive, like there's no, it's all extremes.
Yeah.
But the hope is that the pendulum will swing really far to the right and it'll get lodged in the wall. Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that metaphor doesn't really work.
Not great, but the hope is that we'll finally get rid of the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real issue. It always comes back to the system that enables all of this shit to happen.
Yeah.
And who runs that?
Raptors.
It's the Reptoids.
They're working together.
Hey man, the oligarchs are Reptoids.
It's all a dialectic. The Raptors blame the Reptoids. The Reptoids blame the Raptors. They're working together behind the scenes. Everyone knows it. It's in the white papers.
Anyways, don't donate to the Red Cross. Donate to local charities in Houston. The Red Cross
yes.
will not use your money to help people in Houston.
Yep.
Please make sure that you are donating to the people who are needing it the most.
Always as directly
the Red
as
Cross
possible
is
the best
for-profit institution.
Yes, indeed. And beyond that, not a donation, but go to our website, knowledgefight.com.
Yeah.
It's a good, fun time. There's stuff there. Who cares?
Nothing about Raptors yet. If you'd like to become a policy wonk.
You can. Just click the support the show button. If you'd like to
follow
us on Twitter.
Or if you'd like to become a policy wonk, donate to a local charity.
Sure.
For Houston.
Yeah.
And just send us an email and we will policy wonk the fuck out of you guys.
You'll be a charity wonk.
Yeah.
You get
okay.
your own status.
There we go.
There's a lot of statuses flying around. Eventually, I'm going to have to create an Excel doc.
Yeah. You're getting out of control here.
But be that as it may, also you can follow us on Twitter at knowledge_fight.
If you donate 30,000 Raptor coins, you will be a Raptor wonk.
Sure, absolutely.
Absolutely, that's going to happen.
Or if you send me one of those original Jurassic Park play sets, the compound, the command compound, you'll be a Raptor wonk.
I would have made you a T-Rex wonk for that, but apparently Dan doesn't think of you that highly.
The T-Rex toy is unwieldy. It's too big. When I was a kid, I never was able to play with it right.
If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it's at knowledge_fight.
Correct. And if you want to send me clips of the TV show Dino Riders, I would appreciate that. I remember that show being pretty fun.
If you have any scripts from the show Dinosaurs.
Not the mama. Oh, boy.
We are going to need another Timmy, though.
If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can. It's just Knowledge Fight.
Go to iTunes, download, subscribe, tell your friends. We love this show. Come out to at North Bar.
It's not
September 9th.
At 9 p.m. It's not hard to remember. It's 999 in honor of Herman Cain's tax plan.
Yes.
Yep.
And Mike Pence's greatest fears, and that's numbers that are upside down.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
But beyond that, thank you all for listening. This has been a lot of fun. We'll get back to Alex Jones next week. I hope you all have a wonderful Labor Day.
Yeah,
it's
probably.
Labor Day?
Yeah, Labor Day
sounds
right.
Memorial Day mixed up.
Labor Day sounds right.
Cool.
You know who hated the union movement?
Who's that?
That fought and many people died.
Mm-hmm.
Many people died.
Totally.
For this holiday, for Labor Day. We don't memorialize that. We don't memorialize the fact that a 5-day week murdered people.
Yep.
That in order to fight against the oligarchy, people had to die in order to get living wages, in order to get a living time,
totally.
In order to get hours that don't fucking kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know who was against all of that?
I think I know.
Somebody who can go fuck himself, Dan. Do you know who can go fuck himself?
John Raftorport.
Yes!
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.